What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
It's another episode of What the Fuck, and just so you guys know off the bat, I'm in a bad fucking mood tonight. So, Jillian, y'alls have been warned.
I didn't do it.
No. I'm not mad at you. No.
I didn't mean to imply
I was mad at you. I guess, okay, segment three will be kind of a sensitive topic and hopefully an eye-opening topic.
It's really inspirational, so please hang around.
For the first segment, let's just get into and dumbest thing and our first actual topic do kind of flow together. So let's get into this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You being a woman should actually...
I am a woman.
So you're all a woman. You should be actually extra offended at this. Janis Lane is the president of the Central Mississippi Tea Party, and she said on the record that she believes women should not be allowed to vote because they are diabolical and emotional. Before you respond, Jay, let me read her entire quote, and I'm going to read it with the horrible grammar because she's got a really bad piece of grammar in here. I'm not going to correct that. So this is not me being stupid. This is her being stupid. Our country might have been better off if it was just men voting. There is nothing worse than a bunch of mean, hateful women. They are diabolical in how they can skewer a person.
I don't think rebuttal? That was her. I think that's a typo of the person that wrote the article, actually.
I don't know. A woman this stupid? Do you really put that past her? She said something this dumb. Do you really put the typo past her?
Well, no, I'm just saying to clarify, it may or may not. I doubt. I think that's a mistypo, but it doesn't excuse what she said. I mean, oh God, it's like so. Just don't. And this lady's like old. Like, how old is she?
It doesn't give her age, but she. I'm gonna guess
she's like Golden Girls old looking. Yeah. Like she looks like a doppelganger, evil Betty White. Like I want to
kind of
face. Not Betty White. Like Betty White is sweet, but yeah, she's got the blondie hair like that. But it just goes to show you that.
And she is the president of the Central Mississippi
right.
Tea Party. So she holds a relatively mm-hmm. high office in the Tea Party. And for her to say this, that just, Jillian, we've talked endlessly about the war on women. And it's actually a little more grievous, I think, when it's a woman directing the war on women, don't you think?
It is, and it just goes to show you we've talked so many times about how we're getting set back, and it's becoming like the 1950s. You know, women in the workplace, like all of that. We've talked episodes. I'm not going to go into it. But with this, you have an older woman, like, you know, grandma old, of that generation. So these are, you know, obviously she is very pro this idea when we should be progressing forward. And instead, we have certain politicians, and not all Republicans, but the ones that are out there and making the news are the ones with these ideologies. So you have this situation of just trying to knock women back, especially. I know there's so much more than that, but we're just focusing on this right now. And it really is sickening. Like the notion that women shouldn't vote because they're emotional and diabolical. So if you're diabolical and you're using your boyfriend or something, or you play games, or however she means that, it's very unclear. How does that make you not
see? I think not have
a right to vote.
No, Jay, this is pure supposition on my part, but I'm trying to think like a Republican, and I know that's kind of an oxymoron right there, but I'm trying to think like a Republican in this. Frame it in these terms, okay? Women, because of all the war on women stuff that the Republicans have been puking out for the last couple of years, women are going to vote for Obama, probably record high numbers, although the Wisconsin election proves that that's not always true. So they
had that women for Romney rally, though.
Yeah, and look how many people turned out. But
there are those out there that aren't taking that into account.
But I think overall, probably a large portion of women in America are probably going to be Obama backers over Romney backers. So the Republican way of looking at it.
I see so many things right now going around of people saying that they're not going to vote, that neither is good. It's like, but you need to look at the situation.
You need to vote for the lesser of two evils.
I know. Which America do you want to live in? Do you want to live in an America run by candidate A or run by candidate B? And that's why voting is so important. And it sickens me when I see the stuff going around of, well, I'm not going to vote. It's pointless. It's like, you know what? Then you don't have a right to complain when you feel the country is shit. Yes, things need to be changed. Things aren't perfect under Obama. It's no secret that I'm an Obama supporter. Honestly, if Romney wins, I'm going to seriously try and get funds together and move to Canada. Like, it's really scary. It scares me. I know I've said this so many times. If you're a Romney supporter, more power to you. But no, like, I just, everything, the way this country is going and the way that they are treating women's issues and wanting to just take us back to the 50s where, you know, less pay, women shouldn't be in certain jobs, the whole birth control, women's bodies, everything like that. Whether you are pro-choice or pro-life, I mean, I know it, religious belief, fine, have your beliefs, but you can't force those on other people. And saying that we need to put the Bible back in America, this and that, it's like, okay, well, you're focusing on one religion. I'm not, you know, biased against people's religious beliefs. I think some people take it to extremes and they actually lose and they pick and choose from the Bible. You know, I was raised Catholic. I have a Catholic family. I don't look down on them for their beliefs, but when you're picking and choosing what's okay, I have family members that aren't necessarily homophobic, but they believe that gay is being a sin. Do I disown the family? Do I, you know, no, but I severely disagree with their views. I mean, that's a different story. But if you're looking at how the country is run and you're looking at two candidates and you don't like either, ask yourself, okay, well, what's the lesser of two evils? And if you're looking at it like that, I went to register to vote. I actually luckily found out on the last day because I looked up to see if I was still registered. And I guess with moving and things like that, I needed to re-register. I got my ass down there and registered, and I was very pleased that, like, I had to wait in line, and it was kind of annoying that I'd wait in line, but I was so glad that I was waiting in line for something like people registering to vote. It made me very proud that, because so many people you hear nowadays don't want to bother to vote. And I mean, obviously there's a lot of people that vote, but especially with younger people and just people who are jaded. And I'm like that too. Like, I'm really concerned with how the country is. I'm worried about the future. Things are not good. I'm not going to lie. A lot needs to improve. You know, we're still Americans. You need to exercise your right to vote. And especially as a woman, you know, my gender fought for the right to vote. And so I am damn well going to exercise it. So hopefully you guys registered to vote. If not, don't fucking complain about the country. And if what the Republicans try and make it an effect, if you, you know, start losing rights, don't complain about it because you didn't try to do anything.
But then you've also got this thing, and this wasn't even a topic we scheduled on, but since we're on the voting thing, we might as well. You've got the Republicans, and the Democrats do this as well, but not to nearly the degree that the Republicans do. Okay, if you're convicted of a felony, you lose your right to vote. And these are the same people that want stricter laws on minor things to be considered felonies. Do you think that might be a calculated plan to use the no voting for felons to kind of weed out all the people that would vote against your own opponent? Or am I reading way too much into, or but did I just give them an idea?
I don't know. It could be. Who the hell knows? I mean, with their strict rules and values, they probably look at anything as severe.
Okay, and then our other topic, which does seg into this. All right, Arthur Allen is the CEO of ASG Software Solutions, and he recently sent out an email to all his employees about voting for Republican presidential hopeful Mitt Romney. And then he made a very, well, I don't know.
Vague.
It's not even vague threat that their jobs will be at stake if they don't. Quoting, "If we fail as a nation to make the right choice on November 6th and we lose our independence as a company, I don't want to hear any complaints regarding the fallout that will most likely come." That is not a vague, and that is not a veiled threat. I'm for Romney, and if you're not, your job is in jeopardy.
I don't think so, because above, like, it could be a threat, or he wants it interpreted as a threat, but it's vague enough that it has plausible deniability. We talked before when, was it Bill Maher that made that comment about somebody needs to take him out? And then he was like, well, no, I didn't mean, you know, murder or anything like that. So these people are very good with their words. What he's talking about is that under the Obama administration, like, you know, it's a bad economy and people will lose their jobs and things like that. So I don't want to hear, if you don't vote for Romney and you lose your job, I don't want to hear about it. Like, it's big enough
to where, if Romney gets elected, more jobs will be gone.
I understand, but I meant as a threat. It is not a blatant threat. So it's not literally saying, like, if, because, I mean, he's not going to know how they voted. It's more of a scare tactic of being like, hey, just so you know, you should go this way or, you know, your job might be in danger. But he's not going to know who voted for who. They don't vote in the office. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way for him to know and be like, you voted.
He may actually poll his employees. Tell me who you voted for. I mean, yeah, you could always
lie.
He can't
do that. He can't do that legally.
No, legally you can't, but you also can't legally tell them that their jobs are in jeopardy if a certain person gets elected president.
Again, he didn't.
You cannot send out anything that could even be interpreted as a threat legally.
I understand that, but I'm just saying I don't agree with this. I think it's wrong. You shouldn't be sending political shit at work. However, in the black and white of did you threaten your employees, it's vague enough there to where it can be interpreted either way. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying that it was right. I'm not saying it's okay. It should have never been written. And especially if people are not informed and they interpret it that way, it's a scare tactic.
Well, but it also goes back to Westgate Resort CEO David Siegel. He sent out an email to all his employees that, quote, the president's reelection would threaten their jobs. Again, not outright saying, if you don't vote for Romney, I'm firing your ass. But that can, more people are going to interpret it that way than if he was just saying, oh, what I meant was, if Obama gets reelected, we're going to have to downsize. When you specifically use words like, Obama's reelection will threaten your job, you are threatening your employees to vote for Mitt Romney. There is no interpretation in this for me. No CEO, no CFO, no anyone that has any sense of authority should ever tell, they should never have anything to do with the political process in your office unless your office is about a political process. These people are software and resort companies. They have no bearing. These employees, who they vote for and their politics, have no bearing whatsoever.
I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. What I'm saying is, though, as for so-and-so threatened me and said if I vote for Obama, I get fired, that's not necessarily true. He's not saying, if I find out you voted for Obama, you're getting a pink slip. It's done in a vague way to where he wants them to interpret it that way and scare them, but also can be read as, well, no, because if Obama gets elected, you know, our company's going to be in trouble. And so, you know, our company might go down. I'm not saying that it's right either way. I'm just saying as for a standpoint of I'm personally getting threatened because, number one, he's not going to know who exactly you voted for. It's a scare tactic. And to those who are not informed, they will interpret it that way and not say anything. My question is, it's not legal to be sending out political shit like this. So why are these people not getting in trouble?
Different states have different types of penalties. The article we have doesn't list what state either of these take place in.
Okay.
So different states, different penalties. I know from the two TV stations I worked at here in Green Bay, you were not allowed to send out political emails unless it was because we were a news station. Obviously, there's a little bit more leeway if it was part of a story. Obviously, that was the exception. But, like, I couldn't just send out a mass email to all the employees at the station and say, Mitt Romney's a fucktard, and I'm gonna personally stick a banana in the tailpipe of every person's car who votes for him. I would have been breaking the law, and I would have
been
fired.
As anything, it doesn't seem right to be, hey, just so you guys know, if Obama gets elected, you might. I mean, it just seems so wrong. And like I said, I'm not agreeing with you when I'm arguing the other point. I'm just saying, as for so-and-so threatened my job, it's done in a vague way to where it's either a scare tactic or he wants people to interpret it that way. It's literally not saying if you vote for Obama, you will be fired. That's what I mean by it's vague. What the state laws is and what state this is, I don't know. But I don't think any company should be able to send any kind of information about voting other than maybe like today's the last day to register to vote or don't forget tomorrow's November 5th. Like beyond that, there should be no either or, whether it's Obama promotion or Romney promotion.
It comes down, Jillian, before you joined the show, Ed and I did a story on a Chicago car dealership. Chicago, obviously, Chicago Bears country. Well, when the Packers won the Super Bowl that year, a guy, one of the employees, refused to wear Chicago Bears merchandise and wore Green Bay Packers apparel to work on Chicago Bears Day. And he was fired for that. And he sued for it. This is kind of the same thing. They're saying, if you don't back the guy I want, I don't want you as an employee. Whether he says it explicitly or not, that is the message he's sending. He is sending a chilling effect through his employees. Both of these CEOs are doing that. And a chilling effect is illegal. You cannot in any way threaten their job because of who they vote for or who they like. That would be like saying, okay, I'm the CEO. I love American Idol. If you don't vote for Flash in the Pan that I like, I'm firing your ass. Just because it's the president doesn't make it any more meaningful or meaningless.
They don't have laws in that state against political promotion. It's worded in a vague way to where he can get away with it. That's all I was saying.
He
didn't, hold on. He didn't come out and literally say, if you vote for Obama, you're getting fired. That's all I meant by it's vague enough for plausible deniability. I just want the people listening to know that because they're not looking at it. So yes, it is supposed to be interpreted that way. It's supposed to be a scare tactic. However, how we're explaining this, I want the listeners to know that nowhere did it say, if you vote for Obama, you're getting fired. So that's why I was saying it's vague.
I was trying to watch the local news the other night. And obviously, this time of year, every commercial break is full of political ads. Fair enough. I get that. Doesn't or shouldn't there at least be, you have to have not even a good faith basis, but a tiny percentage of truth in a political ad. I saw one that said, Obama is trying to take away your Second Amendment rights. Vote for Mitt Romney if you care about being a true American and keeping your Second Amendment rights, paid for by the National Rifle Association. Obama
they can
has
basically say anything.
But that's what I'm saying. How many morons are just going to believe this? Obama's coming to get our guns. Of course, the fact that he strengthened gun laws and made it harder for people to take away guns, that clearly means he's coming for your guns. Obama has made no moves whatsoever in the direction of trying to repeal or even restrict the Second Amendment. And this commercial was just outright lies. I mean, even Fox News probably would go, shit, man, that there was no truth in that. I mean, I was actually offended when I saw this, how do you lie that blatantly? And then
they can say whatever again.
But this
Fox
is tantamount.
Does it all the time.
But
other
this is tantamount to
the
same. But Jillian, this is tantamount to the same thing. If Romney doesn't come out and say, you know what, that ad does not speak for me, that is tantamount to, yeah, okay. And then I think that is actually just as bad. That is just as bad because these ads are running nationwide, and the way the Republicans are looking at this is, well, it's going to sway some viewers, it's going to sway some voters, so we'll go with it.
And the thing is here, I mean, I just saw the headline for it. I apologize, we didn't get into it. I didn't know we were going to go this way. I think it's the GOP's son is quoted saying, we have the opportunity to send the president back to Kenya. Like, it's all of this. Hell, I saw people at rallies wearing shirts of photographs. I didn't see the rallies wearing shirts that's put the white back in the White House and things like that. It's just like, really, fucking really?
You had Ann fucking Coulter on Real Time with Bill Maher the week before we record this. And she was talking about how there is no racism in America. And it's actually racists on the left that keep calling the Republicans racist. And I'm going, I want to see inside her fucking skull, because that has got to be the coolest LSD trip ever. Cause she doesn't live in the real fucking world.
And that's the thing. Racism has no political party. I'm sorry. It has no religion. Like, anybody can be racist. Any race. I mean, it really doesn't matter. I mean, you know, usually, typically, when you say racist, you automatically think white against black. You know, there's anything. You know, you've got white and black people against Asians. You've got black against white, white against black. You've got black people against mixed children. They think they're, you know, an abomination, that white and black people should not be together, vice versa. Like, I mean, there is no political side. I mean, you can be gay and still be racist. You know, there's no definition of a group of any people whatsoever that is like, well, they're the only ones that are racist. I'm sorry.
Well, we're going to have to cut this one short. Maybe we'll pick it up, you know, as we get closer to November 5th. After a heart attack, Jillian and I are going to talk about something that hopefully enlightens a lot of you people, Christian, gay, no matter what. I hope this enlightens some of you.
Hey, it guys. Hart D. Fisher from Heart Attack here. And normally you'd hear me ranting and raving about some political thing that's got a bug up my ass or another. But today, I want to talk to you guys about the Safe Cig. When I was growing up as a kid, my father smoked 3 packs a day. My mother smoked 2 packs a day. And when we went on a family camping trip, he rolled up the windows for the air conditioner. So we rolled down the highway in a goldfish bowl full of smoke. It was nuts. Well, tell you what, folks. I wish my father had this when I was a kid. Safe Cig is a new technology that offers a real alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. That's right. It's an alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. No tar, no ash, and has virtually no smell. So go on down to www.thesafecig.com. No secondhand environmental health or fire risk. So if you've got a hubby or a wife who likes to smoke in bed at night while she's reading her favorite James Patterson novel, well, hey, you don't have to worry now if she's smoking the Safe Cig because it's not on fire. So, folks, I've got a really good deal for you. If you want to try out the Safe Cig, you can. You're going to get 20% off if you use the code HORROR. That's right. Use the code HORROR, and you're going to get 20% off your order of the Safe Cig. And that's thesafecig.com. So go ahead and check it out today. Get your 20% off. Don't forget to use your code HORROR.
All right, Hart, I know you've seen that Storage Wars show. You've bitched about it before, so I know you've seen it.
Well, I don't know if bitching about it is the right word. And in fact, I've actually been in talks with some of the guys on Storage Wars to cameo in some of our horror films in the future.
Well, hopefully Dave Hester is not one of them.
Dave Hester was not one of them. But what's the deal with Dave?
Well, he has went out and trademarked, yep, and he is now suing people who've been using the word before him. He's suing a rapper for his 2009 album. Going back in retrospect, you use the word that I now own. You owe me money if you want to keep this album on the shelf, with you going, yep.
There's that other rock band. Fuck, what's their name? They had that. Yep. Fuck that guy. That guy's an asshole. You know what? I got sued by O.J. Simpson over the same shit. O.J. trademarked O.J., like the victims of Jeffrey Dahmer's families that sued me. They thought it'd be a lot easier to sue a small publisher to get themselves a little precedent. They want to set a legal precedent. And so they found out real hard that, sure, you could sue a guy in court over the Dahmer books. It doesn't mean you're going to win. It's called a frivolous lawsuit. If you sue somebody frivolously and you're wasting the court's time, you can recoup all your legal losses. But there's people out there unscrupulously, I'm tired, guys. I've been working my ass off at American Horrors with Halloween programming. So I'm fucking beat. Anyway, back to this fucking point. These assholes are going to shake down people who don't know any better. You cannot trademark a solitary word. You can't trademark war. You can't trademark taste. And OJ lost his fucking lawsuit. Why? Because you can't fucking trademark it. And then you have issues of fair use. Social commentary, satire, you know, things that might be related to a song using a word or a trademark term. Do you really think Coca-Cola can go out and sue a guy because Coca-Cola's in his song? Can't. This guy's a douchebag. He's looking to make some quick douchebag money. And the only money he'll get is from suckers, because a fool and his money are soon parted.
What kind of a human being do you have to be to try and do this? I'm on the verge of losing my house, and I would never stoop to something like that to get the money.
I don't even get what you're saying, Josh. I mean, seriously, dude. In Thailand, I could go buy somebody's kid and fuck him up the ass for a couple hours.
And
you're going to lecture me about, I can't believe people would do something like this. Are you kidding me? I'm helping out Christine McDonough Crawley right now because the banks and the state of Illinois is trying to steal her fucking house.
Uh-huh.
And you're telling me, I can't believe this. Our country's filled with self-centered, scumbaggy people who use the system, like Mitt Romney. Sounds a lot like Mitt Romney. He's a bottom feeder. A guy who just strings along companies and makes it look like they're worth something on paper, bankrupts them out, dumps them off on Wall Street, runs away with a shitload of money in his pocket, but an assload of debt on that company side. And basically what he's doing is he's running up somebody else's debt and keeping the money and leaving somebody else holding the bag. That's who Romney is. That's how he makes his money. Besides the fact that the cocksucker was born fucking rich, he likes to steal from people. He likes to fuck people up the ass, that guy Romney. Jesus Christ, I mean, I am really unhappy with a lot of the shit that Obama has pulled. I'm really, really unhappy. But you think Romney's a fucking alternative?
If
Romney gets into office, we will be ass-raped. There will be police ass-raping squads on every fucking corner. You think I'm wrong? The American people are getting ass-raped bad enough with Obama in office. What the fuck would happen if Romney's in office? We'd all be walking around with our assholes cornholed out with a little collar and a little brand, and we'd be working for the man for the rest of our fucking life. Sorry.
And that's fine. To go back to the copyright thing real quick, but it's the same. Sure. It's the same kind of bullshit that George Lucas tried to pull, and I believe it was the late 90s. I think it was right before Phantom Menace came out. He tried to trademark the words droid and blaster, words that existed before he existed. These have been words that have existed in science fiction literature since like 1918, and he tried
so
to say.
So was OJ.
Yeah, Perry Farrell of Jane's Addiction has tried to copyright, trademark the word Lollapalooza. That word's 105 years old. Who the fuck does he think he is saying, I made it popular, so now you have to pay me if you want to use it?
They're just gaming the system, man. And this comes back to why I tell people to vote again and again and again. And people say, man, I voted for Obama and nothing changed. Seriously, do you vote in your local election? Did you vote for your city mayor? Did you vote for your state representative? Did you vote for the Senate representative? Because last time I checked, the president doesn't fucking write laws. The Congress and the Senate write laws, they vote on it, and then the guy at the top either signs for it or doesn't sign for it, okay? So if you're not taking part in your elections, if you're not taking part in your own governance, hey man, bend over, grab your fucking ankles, because somebody else is.
It just came down this week, Hart. You know, we've talked about the Pirate Bay and Demonoid and whatnot in the past. Just came down this week, three of the biggest lyric-sharing websites. All they do is print the lyrics to popular songs. The RIAA has hit them and won a judgment of $6.6 million against these websites for copyright infringement because they printed the lyrics to songs that record companies own. At what point does this stop, Hart?
They're desperate, man. Most people out there, when they download their album and they steal from an artist, because, guys, when you download an album, you're fucking stealing from Ted Nugent. When you download that Katy Perry song, you're fucking stealing from that fucking artist. They make their living from this work. When my wife was fighting for her life with chemo and fucking cancer, I went online and I was able to track at least a million downloads of The Garbage Man. I didn't see any fucking money from that. And goddamn, I needed that fucking money. I needed that fucking money. So when some editor from fucking Fangoria starts telling me about his favorite goddamn pirate site, I get goddamn fucking angry. Because you're fucking stealing, motherfucker. If you took a CD out of the store, fucking stealing. You're stealing from the people you're supposed to love and like and dig. Now, if you're some poor motherfucker who's homeless, I get it, man. But it's all these fuckers that are at home, these parents and these kids, but that's a whole other fucking rant. Let's just put it this way. The whole music industry is fucked, man, because everybody's stealing from them. And that's the fucking fact of the matter. In fact, the companies are stealing from their own artists. Most people don't know that Download.com is owned by CBS. And Download.com's employees of CNET were telling people how to circumnavigate copyright protection. They were doing this while they were being paid by the corporations that are suing these people. It's a double end. It's a double game. They're fucking us. They're fucking us on every fucking level, man. And you know what? Fine. This record industry is going to learn the hard way. If you fuck your customers, you're not going to be around that long. And you have to rig the game, which is what the American pharmaceutical industry has done. They kill their customers with impunity. How many people have died from marijuana? I mean, seriously, how many people have fucking OD'd on marijuana? I smoked so much weed last night, I was in the hospital. From what, heart palpitations or what? Because you were 300 pounds and you went in? It's bullshit, man, but how many people are dying from Lipitor? How many people die from Vicodin? You know, my father bled out through his guts from his medications. If he'd been able to smoke motherfucking weed, he'd be fucking alive today, and I fucking love my dad. I miss my dad every fucking day. He was a funny, cool guy. So yeah, I got a hard-on for a lot of these scumbags out there that are trying to fuck us. And there are millions of these dudes trying to fuck us. And that's why we gotta vote, motherfuckers! Because we have to get our lawmakers in there making laws for us and not people like the American recording industry that has sued its own customers. If it was me, you know, I didn't go out and sue people that downloaded Garbage Man. I just flat out said, dude, you're a fucking dick. Look in the mirror. You stole a movie from somebody who's recovering from cancer. So every one of you assholes who illegally downloaded the Garbage Man, you fucking deal with that. You stole from a sick motherfucker who really needed that goddamn money. That's your cross to bear. Because when I meet people and they tell me about their illegally downloaded collections, I know you're a fucking dick. My buddy is bragging about this shit. This culture of cheating in our country that rewards cheats nonstop has got to stop.
See, the way I do it, Hart, like when I interviewed director Jason Paul Collum, there was a leaked version of his movie Screaming in High Heels released to the internet. I downloaded it and watched it. I loved it. So you know what I did? I went to Amazon and I bought it. So he still got the money from me, and I now own a copy of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I use the downloads, is I either boot stuff that you cannot get legally anymore, like, you know, you got to find a 15-year-old VHS tape, or I use it as a preview service. I liked that movie. I'm going to go buy it.
You know, I can understand that. You know, that kind of thing wouldn't really bother me. When I was in college, you know, my buddies and I would tape each other's albums. And then when you really love something, because your tape never lasted, you'd fucking go buy the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you really dug it, you'd go buy it.
And, you know,
and that was how it was. Everybody on the dorm room floor, like everybody that we all would like swap albums. Oh, let me hear that, man. Let me record that. And that really wasn't a big deal. You know, it's one or two people. It's four or five people. When you've got thousands of people and they're not buying shit, that's when you're really fucked, man.
Have you ever seen the cassette version of the Dead Kennedys and God We Trust Incorporated EP? Since it's an EP, it's only got five songs on it. All five songs are on side one, and side two says, home taping is killing the recording industry. We've left this side blank to do our part.
Oh my God, wow.
That's fucking brilliant, isn't it? They basically gave you, here's the other side, here's 25 minutes of tape, record some other cool album on it. Now that was ballsy and original.
Pretty clever. Pretty clever. I mean, you know, it's a tricky landscape too, because it could be said that there's an argument that could be made that on American Horrors, you know, I play public domain movies. There are people that could say, hey man, you know, you're a two-faced motherfucker, you're playing public domain. But the thing is I'm playing stuff that like open copyright, that's
everybody
legal
owns.
For anyone, including you, to go and find. And all I've done is gone out and find it. And when I have filmmakers who say, hey, you know what, man, that movie you were showing there the other night, I own the copyright on that. And when you contact me and you show me, hey, I own this copyright, I'm like, oh, fuck, my bad. And I try to make a deal with them. You know what I mean? If I like the movie, I like the movie. And that's how I try to handle it. But it's a really thorny issue. This is definitely a very gray area. This is something that we really got to dig into and examine.
But here's the other side of it. You cannot allow the corporations, 20th Century Fox, Paramount, Sony, whatever, you cannot allow them carte blanche to just go, hey, we own everything our logo is on, even
no,
if they don't
can't,
anymore. You
here's
cannot.
The trick they're doing. Like, there's several things on American Horrors where I've got music in the clip, and what they're doing is they're using copyright as an excuse for them to insert their commercials without my permission in front of my clips. And now I've got five clips that I have all the copyright notice for, unless it's the music playing in the background. These are things from a comic convention. These are recorded live at a comic convention. So unless they're talking about the music in the background of a live event, there's nothing on there that I don't have the rights for. And I understand that for what I'm doing, it's okay. It's a live event. I'm just recording there. I'm not like charging money. I don't charge for commercials on my YouTube channel. It kind of bugs me. And so they look for an excuse to use copyright so that they can put a commercial on, and then they keep all the money. Like I'm getting any money for it.
You cannot let them get a stranglehold over the internet like the companies want. And one of the things fighting against them, which you've already brought up, is American Horrors.
This is true. This is true. You know, we try to play what we love on American Horrors. I respect the rights of my creators. I'm working with a lot of people on creator-owned projects, just like I did in comics. And I make sure that when we make deals, you know, I try to honor those commitments. I try to honor those deals. And one of the things that really bothers me about these giant corporations like CBS is they use the illegal piracy issue. They're making money from those downloads at download.com. What they're doing is you're spending time on the website. So CBS charges for advertising on the site. Now, does the artist who's getting ripped off get any of that advertising money? No. So therefore, the big corporation is making a huge profit from illegally pirating their own stuff. Mm-hmm. After they illegally pirate their own stuff, they turn around and sue their own customers.
It's like
really
a Ponzi scheme. It's like a Ponzi scheme, so they don't have to pay royalties.
It really is.
So,
now, at American Horrors, it's free. You can watch this for free until November. You just go to www.filmon.com, forget about all this crap, watch some great, fun horror films. It's October. It's a Halloween season. Check it out, and also go ahead and check out my auction on onlineauction.com. I'm going to be selling the shirt off my back to help Christine McDonough Crawley raise the money to pay her back taxes and save her house for her and her daughters. And that's all I got to say. I hope you guys are having a great weekend.
Came across this story, and by the headline, I wasn't sure what to think of it. So I'm really glad that I looked into it because it truly is inspirational. We talk a lot, like even on this show, you know, we talk about gay rights, gay prejudice, everything. Timothy Couric is a straight Christian man, and he quote unquote came out and pretended to be gay for a year. By that headline, I didn't know what to think of it. There's a video that goes with the article, and I guess he's actually writing a book. And this is just really inspirational because there's so many quote unquote Bible thumping homophobic people out there. And he was actually one of them. Goes on to say that essentially started when he was about 7 years old, and he was in his school classes and was told by his teacher homosexuality was, and this is quoting what he said, that homosexuality was the ultimate abomination, causing holy genocide raining down onto Sodom and Gomorrah. So at 7 years old, he is taught this, which spawned his homophobic tendencies, and just thinking that extreme views that basically gay people are less and they are just abominations. And he was very anti-gay, like not just I don't agree with it, but one of the people that are just, you know, you're gay, you're evil, you're not a human being type things. So he took it to heart, and he had a friend. She came out to him and was crying on his shoulder that, you know, she had just come out. Her entire family was not supportive. She was basically disowned. And he goes to say that he was no more supportive than her family was. He basically shunned her, kind of thought it over for a bit, and said that for the very first time in his life, he questioned the feeling that he had felt about gays all these years, thinking that this girl, this friend of mine crying on my shoulder is not an abomination. And he just kind of felt this little spark inside him and said that Jesus was the ultimate example of empathy and had made beautiful acts of compassion. So he really wanted to kind of detach himself from everything he was taught, but it had been ingrained in him so much, he knew he had to do something extreme to get rid of this prejudice. He said he realized that he needed to understand the truth of what was, you know, behind being out and just the shunning and the burden that these people feel by certain members of society. So, you know, to find out and just kind of enlighten himself, he decided that he needed to walk in the shoes of the people he had discriminated against all these years. So aside from his aunt, a close friend, and a gay friend, nobody else knew that his coming out was not true. So it was very secretive, and his gay friend was recruited to play his boyfriend. That way, you know, when he's out, because he went to gay bars, he kind of got taught a bit about gay culture, how to flirt, and, you know, he posed as boyfriend so that when gay men hit on him when he was out. He had a boyfriend, because I mean, he's not gay. So it was very cool of this friend as well. And I think that's just great. I mean, if you have a friend come to you and you're like, yeah, I'm really homophobic and here's, you know, what's going on. And they're like, well, yeah, you know, let's do this, because some people may look at it and be like, well, that's horrible. Why are you pretending to be gay? He said when he came out, nearly 95% of his friends stopped talking to him, and his mom took it the hardest. And he says, quote, I snooped in my mother's journal one day after I'd come out, and she'd written, I'd rather have found out from a doctor that I had terminal cancer than have a gay son.
That's some hard shit there.
Yeah, he says she eventually came to terms with his sexuality and went from being a very conservative Christian to being an ally to the gay community. He wrote his experience in a book called The Cross in the Closet, and some of the proceeds are going to be donated to the LGBT community homeless youth centers. And he says, I'm just going to read this last quote here. I'm sorry if I'm kind of gushing. I just think this is, you know, a bright spark in humanity of everything going on right now. And I'm just really feel really great. He says, what I went through is nothing compared to the experience of the average gay and lesbian. They were never able to say only 12 or 8 or 6 months of this before I get to be me again. So what I consider to be the most eye-opening facet of my year was really only a glimpse of how bad the closet really is.
As a bisexual woman, is that why you find this so inspirational? Because I'm a straight male, and I find this, I'm not trying to play devil's advocate, I find it both very good that he did this, he learned his lesson, he learned that he was kind of being an asshole all these years, and that his brethren who continue to do this are as well. But I also take a little bit of issue with the fact that he lied unnecessarily to all of his friends and that, and would you blame his friends that even if they found out the truth later, they would go, oh, you're really not gay. Okay, now you're back. Welcome to the party. I don't think I'd want those people as friends anymore, would you?
I wouldn't. And you saying that you don't think it's necessarily right that he, you know, lied unnecessarily.
Yeah, I don't agree with the lying part of it.
Well, that's the only way to really do it. And if you are someone, I mean, here's the thing. I'm not an advocate of lying. However, if you're trying to change yourself, I mean, this didn't really hurt anyone. Yeah, it hurt his mom and his friends or whatever. So like the family is more important than anything else. To know the disownment by parents and knowing the kind of prejudice that he has been raised against, you know, homosexuals and bisexuals, I understand it. You know, he wasn't going out and trying to pick up guys and be like, well, no, I'm straight. He didn't come out on the news. You know, he came out to his friends. Honestly, if I was like, oh, I'm gay, and my friends were all, you know, no, what? And I lost them. No, I wouldn't want them back as a friend. I feel bad for his mom. At the same time, her reaction is horrible. So
agreed.
It's kind of a double-edged sword. But if this opened this man's eyes, and there is one less
homophobe
person that is just has so much prejudice and hate towards the gay community, nobody really got hurt.
But I
so,
mean, you know, Jay, you and I have talked about this so many times. Look at all, and this is not a right wing or a left wing thing. Mainly the anti-gay protests are Republicans, mainly. Look at how many Republicans, I mean, how many of the leaders of anti-gay movements turn out to be gay, turn out to be caught with the pool boy, turn out to be caught with a male hooker, turn out to be caught blowing dudes in bathrooms. There's got to be something more to the hate, and the only way I can put it is the campaign of evil that they perpetrate on people that are different from them. There's got
it's
to be something more.
It's mostly religion and certain society circles. What I will say here, you know, other than he wasn't going to gay rallies, he wasn't, you know, openly posting as gay all the time. He was trying to understand and walk in the shoes of a homosexual. So he wasn't going to gay bars covertly. He was going with his friend. I go to gay bars. My straight friends go to gay bars. You know, you dance, you have fun. And it's a great place because the majority of people that are, you know, in our gay bars are just some of the coolest fucking people ever. I mean, there's fucking bachelorette parties that go there and they don't even say, well, we don't have a right to get married. You know, they are supportive. Oh, congratulations. Whether you think that's tactless or not, you know, is another thing. I'm just saying, you know, the community, when I go out to the bars, the best one I go to is usually the gay bar because everyone, for the majority,
is fabulous.
Is super nice. Don't do that. No, I mean, it has its downs. I mean, you get the people that, you know, I'll go with my friends sometimes and it's like, well, no, you know, lay off. She's straight. Or, you know, he has a boyfriend. Just, you know, anything like that. You get people that are kind of shady, but that's just anywhere you live. So, I mean,
there's also Mayberry
or anything. But what
Jay,
I will say on, is on. This.
And I'm not trying to make a pun in this. This is the only way I can use this term, okay? This is not a pun because we're talking about gay and straight.
Oh.
But it also goes, the hatred goes both ways. I have been out at public gatherings, and I even worked with a gay person that hated straights. Mm. How is it any worse if I would call him a fag than he calls me a breeder? I know a lot of homosexuals that they hate straights. Oh, you're a straight? Ugh. You have sex with girls? Ew. I don't get that. So we have to be fair and say there is hatred on both sides. I have met virulently anti-straight gay groups too.
See, I have not. I mean, I know it exists. I'm just talking, you know, from the portion of this, and you do have to agree though that the majority of prejudice between the two is straight against gay.
Right, but I'm saying we have to bring up the other side as well.
Exactly, yeah, that's fine. But I find this, and actually I saw something else that was really inspirational. At a gay, it was a gay rally or a gay, I think it was the gay pride parade, there was a photo taken of people with signs and all of their shirts said, I'm sorry. And the signs were things of people that were Bible thumping Christians who realized that they were being wrongfully prejudiced. And, you know, there's a picture of one of the people in the parade, like hugging someone. Like it was just really sweet and eye opening that essentially, and not so much that, oh, well, you know, they're the people are there promoting or whatever, but it's the point that they realize they're wrong and they did something about it. It's not just I change. I mean, that's a big step to be like, hey, I used to hate gay and bisexual and I'm sorry.
Well, and
you know, says a lot.
No, it does.
You know, I don't look at it, be like, oh, well, they're gay and they have, you know, a lot of hate towards them. And I mean, I say them because like a lot of times, especially girls that are bisexual, they're less looked down on depending on, you know, families and certain situations. So, you know, I actually don't put myself in the category of what people who are gay come out to. Bisexuals, yeah, they're discriminated against. Do I feel that I'm on the same level of a gay male, a lesbian female? No, I don't, because a lot of people look at, especially, oh, well, you're just a drunk bisexual. It's like, no, you know, it's like I go either way. I tend towards guys, but I've said this before. A lot of girls are bitches. It's hard to find, you know, a girl to work. It's like, all right, yeah, but
if only we could get Wrecking Sarah Lewis made, huh?
I know, right? No, but I will say, you know, because I am a huge gay rights supporter. Some of my best friends are gay, and I don't have the opportunity to go to some of the rallies. But, you know, he tells me all the time, like I have one friend that goes to like L.A. and stuff and goes to, you know, the big rallies, you know, and so I get to hear a lot about him and I love it. And I just love, you know, the support that goes. But at the same time, there's a lot of hate that goes. So I just want to be clear, like, you know, when I'm saying they, I don't think I am anywhere near what people who are gay and lesbian go through.
When Scott from Lost in the Static and I talked about this on our show a while ago, he opened my eyes to something that I wasn't aware was part of the gay community, that being gay is who you are. To me, who you are is who you are. I don't understand why who you sleep with or what turns you on defines you, because I was taken to task by a certain listener who basically attacked me because I said what I just said to you. And he said, no, being gay is who you are. It defines every decision you make in life. Being gay is a lifestyle. It is not a choice. And I'm going, no, it's not. Being gay is who you sleep with. Do you play video games gayer than a straight male? No, you don't. Do you make dinner gayer? Do you watch a movie, just like an action movie, gayer? Do you go grocery shopping gayer? No, you don't.
Yeah. All right, here's the thing. Not everyone feels that way. It's just like with any organization, any kind of, you know, group, you know, like religions, everything. You have large, vast amounts of people that believe certain things. It is and it isn't. A lot of times when you would speak of, well, gay is who you are, it's more so what you have to deal with every day and what you live with every day. You know, you're not shunned by your family for being straight. You don't have to tiptoe around, you know, your family with, you know, if you're dating someone of the same sex or not. So it is a different lifestyle to an extent. It doesn't define you as a person, as in, oh, it's gay so-and-so. But in a way, it is a completely different life depending on the people you're around and what you do in society. So it's almost a half and half. I wouldn't go and say, well, no, I'm gay, that's who I am. Or no, I'm bisexual, that's who I am. Or I'm straight, I'm who that, you know, that's who I am. But it is kind of a different sect in how you have to live because of society. Not because, oh, you're gay, you're different, but more so the things you have to go through. Does that make sense?
It does, but I don't see it any more than you've got a guy that goes to punk rock shows. You've got a guy that reads comic books. You've got a guy that maybe watches football. Got a guy that plays video games. His life is the same as any straight guy's life, except the kind of porn he likes. I don't see that as being anything that has to do with who he is. He is who he is. He just watches a different kind of porn.
That extreme, I don't agree with. And not every gay or bisexual person feels that way. There are a lot who do. It's like with any person. You can take anything to an extreme. You know, is being gay who you are? Not necessarily. But it does change a lot about your life depending who you're surrounded by, especially if you're in, you know, a certain religious family who is very strict and has certain views. If you're straight and you're of their religion, it's not going to change your life, you know. But if you're gay and you're in that family, it's going to change your life. And that is who you are, and you can't help it. But it does change things as if you were in the quote unquote, I mean, you know, you're walking a thin line here. It's not everyone feels the way that this person said to you. Not everyone is walking around being like, I'm gay and that defines me as a person. A lot of people feel the opposite. Being gay doesn't define me. Society says it does. So he's almost kind of going against progress by saying I'm gay, that's who I am. It could be that certain people lives change so much and they've had so much hate that they get to be there. And maybe I'm wrong in saying that. Like I said, I am nowhere. I do not, being bisexual, I do not classify myself or pretend to understand the prejudice that
the average gay person, the average.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, I've had a lot of gay friends through my life. I have one that's one of my best friends. And, you know, so I do understand to an extent, but just like a man can never understand being a woman, you can kind of maybe relate at parts or, you know, understand certain things, but it's not going to happen. And like I said, you know, with the people I surround myself with, for the most part, my life didn't change all that much, but I do know that there are horrible, horrible things people go through.
If a girl or a guy wants to contact you, where can they do so?
I am on Facebook, Jillian Zarowski, Twitter, The Mistress J. You can also find me here and there on thecinemasnob.com.
And you can find me at 1201beyond.com, 1201beyond@gmail.com. Weekly column, Sanity is Razor Thin at geekjuicemedia.com. Monthly column, Shadows of Pop Culture and Scene Magazine. You guys know all this. I don't do Twitter. I don't do any of that other goofy crap.
Wait, we also have, we should have said this at the beginning,
oh,
but
that's right.
In case you didn't catch it last time, we now have a What the Fuck fan page, facebook.com/talkwhat.